Precious and Holy Father, we know that each one of us is your unique workmanship, Father. Your word declares that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. Your word declares that the sum total of your thoughts over each and every one of us is vast, O God. And we know, Lord, that revelation knowledge attempts, O God, to bring forth in us the vastness of those thoughts. That you mean to crystallize into our being, Father, the vastness of your thoughts over us. And the crystallization, O God, of the meaning that you have for us, O God, is going to unveil us as morning stars, Father. We are going to shine in the brightness, O God, of the bright and morning star. His fullness is going to be manifested in us. We are going to unveil in His image. We are going to unveil in His fullness. And this revelation knowledge, O God, is the unveiling of His image and His fullness, Lord. Your word declares that of His fullness we have all received, Father. Grace upon grace, Father. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we realize, O God, that revelation knowledge is a realization that takes place in our heart. That in that realization you cause us, O God, to come forth as a new creation. That revelation knowledge manifests in us, O God, the substance that will enable us, O God, to be in total conformance to Christ Jesus, Father. And we know, Lord, that this is your workmanship. This is your awesome workmanship. This is your painstaking workmanship in us by your Holy Spirit. So today, Lord, we bow before you. And we pray, Lord, that you will bring forth this module for, Father, understanding revelation knowledge with clarity, with confidence, with conviction within us, Father. Let what you bring forth in us, O God, be entirely, O God, your workmanship. That we will each rise to boast in the Lord our God. That we will magnify you and glorify you by lifting up the name of Jesus. That we will do all this, Father, by the Holy Spirit, Lord. That we will be a people, O God, who will function in the reality of your triune witness, Father. That we will be a people, O God, who will be alive to you, Father. In the witness, O God, that is true and faithful, that you unveil in us in Jesus' name. So, Father, as you build each one of us, as you create each one of us, as you fashion and form us, Father, we pray that every aspect of our being will be unveiled in revelation knowledge, Father. The knowledge that knows you, the knowledge that loves you, the knowledge that obeys you, the knowledge, O God, that clings to you, the knowledge, O God, that trusts you, Father, the knowledge, O God, that blesses you with every breath that we take, the knowledge that is full of your life, O God, the knowledge, O God, that lifts up the name of Jesus, the knowledge, O God, that functions, O God, by the Holy Spirit, that knowledge, O God, that proclaims, O God, that you are God, that there is none besides you, that knowledge, O God, that declares yourself sovereignty, Lord, Lord. That knowledge, O God, that proclaims you King of our lives, Father. That knowledge, O God, that truly, O God, rises, O God, by your Spirit, O God, to unveil us in heavenly places as a people chosen, as a people anointed, as a people appointed for a great and holy purpose, Father. How vast are your thoughts over us, Lord. So teach us your ways, Father. Teach us your ways by creating in us a pure heart, by creating in us, O God, a heart that will truly belong to you, Father, a heart that will truly love you, a heart that will truly, O God, bless you, Father, a heart of flesh, Father. We need that heart, Father, even as the psalmist David cried, Father, create in me a clean heart. So we look to you, Father, for that clean heart. We know, Father, that that substance of that creation, Father, it has to be entirely of you. So teach us that reality. Bring it forth as a conviction. Bring it forth, O God, as a living fire within us, Lord. That we will understand, O God, that these are realities that are unveiled in the consuming fire of who you are and all that you are. So, Father, bless us in the name of Jesus. Bless us that we will bless you, O Lord, with every breath that we take. Bless us, O God, that we will truly proclaim and declare, O God, the name of Jesus. Bless us, O God, that we will do all things by the Holy Spirit in the magnificence of the risen Christ. So to you, Father, we bow. But to you, Father, we come. Because you are the one who teaches us. Your word declares that all of us will be taught of you, Father. So we take you at your word, Father. And we pray that you will teach us. That you will pray, O God, that you will teach each and every person who is listening to these tapes, Lord. That each one will be blessed in the true knowledge of you. And all glory will be given to you and to you alone. For you alone are worthy of all glory, Father. This is your idea. This is your work. This is indeed your creation, Father. So Father, bless us that we may each unveil as your chosen vessels, that we will truly be able to function by all that you bring forth in us in revelation knowledge, that we will be able to function in this witness that you are creating within us, this witness, O God, that is going to be true and faithful, this witness, O God, that is going to proclaim your glory, this witness, O God, that is going to stand in the truth, Father. So we look to you, Father, for all things. So bless us, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today we are in module 4. Understanding, revelation, knowledge. Understanding, revelation, knowledge. What are we trying to do here? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. We're using the King James Bible for this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the last session, we basically talked about the reality that comes out of revelation knowledge. Today, we want to understand the basis of revelation knowledge. The basis of revelation knowledge is this word called substance. This word called substance. It is the substance that enables the knowledge to be what God wants it to be. And that substance is very, very important for us to understand. Because without the substance, everything, without the right substance, everything is not defined. So Jesus Christ came to manifest the right substance for us. And we want to look at that. And revelation knowledge has got substance to it. Okay? So let's start off by looking at Exodus chapter 25. Familiar passage of scripture by now, because you've heard this from past tapes. But let's look at it again. Exodus chapter 25, verse 16. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. We want to focus on these words, the testimony which I shall give you. Revelation knowledge is the testimony of God. Revelation knowledge is the testimony of God. It is that which comes from God. And God says that he will give us a testimony. Now he's declaring this under the law. That the essence of the law is that it is proclaiming a testimony. So the fulfillment of the law comes when that testimony becomes realized in our being. The fulfillment of the law comes when that testimony of God is realized in our being. And that's what we're going to look at. The realization of that testimony within us is in substance. Are you with me? And that substance comes as we set our hope on the fact that God is the one who is teaching us, that God is the one who is going to make us his instruments. You are going to be taught by God. He is going to give you his testimony. He is going to put his testimony inside of you in substance. You are required to do one thing. You are required to respond to him by setting your hope on him. And he will respond to you by making you receive his testimony. He will bring that testimony and he will manifest it in your being. All right, so God says here, I will give you a testimony. And this is the key to understanding the law and the prophets. That through the testimony of God, the law is fulfilled, the prophets are fulfilled. And the testimony of God is brought to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. That substance that God wants to give us is entirely of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to talk about today. What do we mean by that? Right? Let's turn to Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Again, a very familiar passage of scripture. So in order to give Moses the two tablets of the testimony, God takes him into Mount Sinai. And this verse reads, and when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony. Tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Written by the finger of God. So one of the first ideas we get is the fact that the testimony of God is written by the finger of God. The testimony of God is unveiled by God himself. Moses just received the two tablets. Those two tablets of the testimony were God's provision to Moses. Are you with me? And we need to understand that very clearly. Because what the Bible says in the Old Testament, it brings to life in the New Testament. What the Bible proposes in symbolic form in the Old Testament, we can call it a prophetic symbolism, right? It brings to life in the New Testament. And everything that is brought to life in the New Testament rises through the law and the prophets in the Old Testament. It doesn't come out of nowhere. It finds its roots in the Old Testament. There is nothing in the New Testament that does not find its roots in the Old Testament. And this idea of the testimony is fundamental to everything in God's Word. If you don't understand God's Word as being God's Word only because it is His testimony, you are missing out on the whole meaning of the Scriptures. Yes, sometimes it talks about David, but it talks about David's life before God. It talks about David's life, and it's the life of a man who makes fatal mistakes. But because God is his God, David can say, God took me out of the waters of death and he gave me life. He took me out of all that darkness and he brought me up. He came down from heaven and he took me up and he gave me life. Are you listening? So whether we are talking about the life of Samson, whether we are talking about the life of Moses, underlying all of their personal lives and testimonies is the testimony of God. And the testimony of God is what is going to stand forever. The testimony of God is what is going to stand forever. It is what God does with Moses that counts in Moses' life. It is what God brought out of his life that stands as the testimony of God in Moses' life. And this is how you must understand your life. That God is doing the same thing in your life. That he's unveiling your life in the testimony of God. He is saving you. He is changing you. He is bringing forth a new creation in you. He is bringing forth a son in his own image. He is bringing forth a person who stands very dear in his heart. So dear that he sent forth his word to save us. So dear that he sent forth his Holy Spirit to work out our salvation. To bring out our salvation. The testimony of God is more intimate to us than anything else that we know. The testimony of God is life to us. The testimony of God is the be-all and end-all of your life. Because ultimately, your life is only going to stand by the testimony of God that you have come to receive. That's all. The rest of it, all will pass away. All your achievements, all the accolades of man are only here for a time and a season, and then they are gone. But everything that is of the testimony of God that is brought forth in you, it will stand forever. And so we find that the testimony of God is written by the finger of God. And you need to immediately understand that you are of great importance in the kingdom of God simply because in your life, God means to manifest his testimony. And what the testimony of God is going to be in your life is going to be a unique testimony. Hello, God has just begun. The testimony that he's writing in your life is going to last forever. It's a testimony that is going to grow through your life forever. It's a testimony that is going to find expression in all that you're going to do forever and forever and forever and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the first thing you need to understand is that this testimony unveils by the finger of God. This is not about your brilliance and my brilliance. This is about the brilliance of God. This is His idea. This is something that He does. This is something that He fulfills. This is something that He brings forth. Amen. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 32, verse 15 and 16. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work. And the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. There were two parts to these tablets. First, the substance of the tablets, and then the writing on the tablets. What we have done under the basics of revelation knowledge is talk about the writing. And the writing unveils as light. It unveils as realities. The word that is brought into you as revelation comes alive in you as light. God brings writing into you not the way we write on pieces of paper. God writes into you by bringing forth, unfolding the light that He has contained in His word. And that light, when it is opened inside of your heart, it brings out a reality. And that reality expresses what God has written inside of you. And as God takes that reality and puts it to test through your life, that reality of the word becomes perfected inside of you. It is not just a theoretical concept. It becomes part and parcel of your life. It becomes part and parcel of your thinking. It becomes part and parcel of your character, your nature, your personality. It becomes your being. You are a light being. That's what we talked about yesterday. Right? You are a light being. So there is the writing, but there is something of very fundamental importance to us. The writing has no meaning without the material on which the writing was brought forth. And so we must understand that those two tablets of the testimony were entirely the creation of God. They were not the work of Moses. They were the creation of God. He gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony. And the tablets of the testimony were made out of a material that manifested from God. And so he says that the tablets were God's work and the writing was God's writing. The writing was manifested by the finger of God. But the tablets are just mentioned here as God's work. All right. Let's take the Revelation 2 through to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. We are going to combine the New American Standard and the New King James Bible. I'm going to read from the New American Standard, and I'm going to read the relevant portions of this verse. You are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And I'm taking a word called flesh from the New King James Bible. Human hearts of flesh. Human hearts of flesh. Human hearts of flesh. Human hearts of flesh. And that flesh is not the flesh of the fallen man. That is the flesh that Jesus Christ came to give life to, give expression to. That flesh is the flesh of the Lamb. That substance is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to talk about today. Okay, we want to talk about substance. Because everybody tells us that everybody is trying to do the right thing. Every religion is trying to do what is good. But goodness depends on definition. See, everybody talks about this is right and that is wrong and this is true and that is good and this is love and this is not love. But what is important is definition. And God defines through substance. So those two tablets that are meant to become our hearts have got substance to them. And that substance comes from God. It is the substance that manifests from God. It is the substance that unveils from God. So if we go back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, we find that that verse, faith is the substance of hope, is actually an open-ended statement. It can apply to falsehood, it can also apply to the truth. It says that if you set your hope on the wrong thing, you will receive the substance that is of the wrong thing. And you will also realize the evidence of the wrong thing. So you can create a piece of stone and call it God and set your hope on that piece of stone and say that that piece of stone represents God. And the substance of that reality will manifest inside of you, and the evidence of that reality will also come alive inside of you. You listening? That is the reverse side of revelation knowledge, by the way. It opens you to the occult realm. You can set your mind on anything and receive the substance of it and receive the evidence of it. And you can create a God that panders to your whims and fancies. You can give, you can describe attributes to that God out of pure make-believe. And you can receive the evidence of that. And the whole evidence is a pretense. So at this lies the heart of what God is talking when Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth because I came to manifest the substance that is of God. And the Bible refers to it as a heart of flesh. His flesh. Not the flesh of our fallen man. Are you listening, brethren? So understanding revelation knowledge is built on this substance. That revelation knowledge can occur in the occult realm. That in the occult realm, the witch doctor, the sorcerer also operates in revelation knowledge. Only thing, it is revelation knowledge built on the knowledge of darkness. It is revelation knowledge that stands in a nature that is entirely opposed to the nature of God. Are you with me? So this definition of revelation knowledge in the right substance is what is important. Because as you grow in the realities of revelation knowledge, it is your responsibility to make sure that what you are receiving is of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the substance is not just what you want to bring forth out of your life. Hello. That the substance is not of your own ambition. That the substance is not of the monuments that you are building for your own glory. Hello. That's what happened to Lucy. Right? Lucy wanted to build a monument for himself. And he said, I can even become God. And he received that evidence in his heart that he could become God. He only found out that his evidence was all wrong when Lucy and his friends got thrown out at the speed of lightning. And then he realized that the evidence that he had pursued with so much of wisdom and commitment was all false. It was all built on the wrong substance. And so we must understand that the substance of our hearts must be 100% the work of God. Hello. 100% the work of God. A little leaven leavens the whole dough. You listening? If it's 99% the work of God and you have inserted your 1%, the word of God says that a little leaven will leaven the whole dough. Salvation is God's idea. God saves us. We don't save ourselves. We don't save ourselves. And salvation is a reality that comes from God because of the substance that is being manifested into your being. And that substance, when it's formed and fashioned into your being, saves you, transforms your nature, brings into you a new character, brings into you a new mindset. And all this is 100% the work of God. And when we replace the work of God with our work, that's when we create something called religion. And religion is man's ideas that attempt to explain God. But if you listen to the testimony of God, God says, I will explain myself to you. I will explain myself inside your heart. I do not need anybody's help to do that. I will explain myself into your heart by making your heart my work, so that the evidence of that substance will be entirely of me. That your heart will speak of me. Your heart will glorify me. Your heart will honor me. Your heart will worship me. Your heart will magnify me. Your heart will know and know and know that I am God. Your heart will know that it's living because of me. And there will be no arguments, there will be no scholastic debates of this. It will be written in your heart, and the evidence is irrefutable, because the substance is entirely the work of God. So there's no need to argue about Scripture, because Scripture says that God will fashion your heart, that God will prove himself to you personally. All you have to do is to trust him. All you have to do is to trust him. To bring forth the testimony of who he is and all that he is into your heart. So have we got somewhere on revelation knowledge? Revelation knowledge has to have the right substance. If it does not have the right substance, it is all wrong. Are you with me? Okay, so under the law, God already manifested this idea of how he is going to fulfill the law. And he's going to fulfill the law by bringing forth in you the tablets of his testimony. He's going to make your heart the tablets of his testimony. He's going to unveil himself inside of you and explain himself to you in the light that he unveils through all that he has written into your heart. The substance of that light will be entirely of him, and that light will tell you that he is your Savior. He is your God. That he has done an awesome work inside of you. That one day you will appreciate that he has fearfully and wonderfully made you. That one day you will with all of your heart appreciate the fact that he has fearfully and wonderfully made you. You're listening, brethren. All this cannot be just based on belief. It has to become evidence. And God says, everything I do in your life will have an evidence. I give you my word on it. Everything I do in your life will have an evidence. There will be no ifs and buts about what I am doing with your life. But are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to allow me to work that evidence into your life? Are you willing to allow me to release that substance of a new creation into you? Listening? So let's turn to the prophets. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. You see, in all that we are doing, there is a flow of Scripture. All right? There is the flow of Scripture. Right? The law was declared. And that law was based on the tablets of God's testimony, that the law of God was testifying of God. But we see in the New Testament that that testimony of God is being brought to life inside of you. It is bringing forth a new creation. God is going to bring his law inside of you, and he's going to explain it inside of you through the substance that he's going to manifest. All right? So the fulfillment of the law is based on the substance. Right? It is not theology. When God says that the law has been fulfilled, he's not telling you theology. He's talking about a fact of life that he means to manifest as a living evidence in your life. You and I are going to testify that the law has been fulfilled. You and I are going to testify that the prophets have been fulfilled. So let's turn to the prophets. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. This is God speaking. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, your fallen flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. That's what we are talking about, that heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh is very definitively defined. In all of the Old Testament, that word flesh is not explained. In order to understand the meaning of that word, a heart of flesh, you have to come to the New Testament and you have to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 6, verse 51. John chapter 6, verse 51. Let's listen to these words very carefully. Jesus says here, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Is my flesh. He says, I am the living bread. Are you listening? And he says, this bread is my flesh. Are you listening? I am the living bread. What is he saying? I am is the living bread. I am is the manifestation of the name of God. I am is the name of God. And when Jesus says, I am the living bread, he is communicating the I am of God, and he's saying the I am of God manifested through me is the living bread. And then he makes that more specific by saying, that living bread is my flesh. And that living bread, which is my flesh, is going to be manifested in your heart and my heart. That's why we can be saved. That's why we can discover a brand new life. Because it is the bread of life. It is not just substance for the sake of substance. It is not the substance of this chair. It is not the substance of this carpet. It's not the substance of these walls. It is living substance. It is the substance that brings into being life. It brings into being life. So when we partake of Holy Communion, we are celebrating life. We are celebrating the bread that has become life inside of us. And we are looking forward to the bread that will become more life inside of us. Bring forth new life inside of us. Bring forth new kinds of development of new life inside of us. Making us sons of the living God. And this is a process that is called a Passover. A Passover from out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. Because all of the light of God that is going to be manifested in your being and my being has substance to it. And the substance is entirely in conformance to the I am of God. Given to us, communicated to us through Jesus Christ. It's very important for us to understand that this substance does not make us God. Hello. Look at verse 53. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. What does he say? Flesh of the Son of Man. What is he pointing to? He's pointing to a subordinate communication. A subordinate level of communication. So he says, this is the flesh of the Son of Man. Are you with me? Do you understand what means subordinate? That means it is at a dependent, it is at a derivative level. It is not of the level that makes you God. That's probably where Lucy went off track. Right? Dear Lucy. The original fool. Yeah. He did not understand that he was created. It is that simple, that we are all merely creatures. We have been created. We cannot become the creator. There is only one creator. And he is almighty and all-sufficient in himself. He is God Almighty, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The I Am of God, opened to us through the Son of Man, in the substance of the fullness of the Son of Man. Are you listening? And that substance, right, unveils at a subordinate, a derivative, and a dependent level. If you cut off the source, the substance will die. Hello? If you cut off the source and you think, I can do my own way, you are dead. Because you cut off the life source of that substance. It is living substance. It is living bread. It lives from God. It lives from God. It lives in God. It lives by God. And it lives for God. And if it does not fulfill the specifications in which that substance was manifested, it will die. Are you listening? That's why Jesus said, unless you eat of this flesh, you have no life in you. Hello? You listening? So this heart of flesh that God is creating is entirely the work of God, and this work of God depends on Him. You listening? It depends on Him. It depends on Him. It is derived from Him. It is always subordinate to Him. That means it must bow down before Him. That's the only way in which something can be subordinate to God. That's why God demands worship. And He says, it is in worship that I manifest myself to you. The more you worship me, the more you declare that I am God. And the greatest and fundamental skill that the creature can have is the ability to worship God. Because how you worship God is how He is going to manifest Himself. The ability to worship God is the essence of revelation knowledge. The ability to worship God is the essence of revelation knowledge. Now when I say that, I do not mean that worship is sitting with a guitar and strumming it and singing with your voice. That is one form of worship. But worship means that in your heart, in your character, in your nature, in your thoughts, in your lifestyle, you proclaim that God is my God. I depend on Him. And I bow before Him because all that I have depends on Him. I live by Him. He is my life. And I bow before Him because the life that I have, it is entirely from Him. That without Him, I have no life. And when I bow before Him, it is in recognition that He is my God. That I am entirely sustained by Him. And if He was not there, all of my life will enter into a state of decay. All I will have is pain and trauma. Are you with me? Hello, brethren. You need to understand that and you need to manifest that in your ministry. That God is the be-all and end-all of your life. That you are not living by the systems of the world. You are living in the substance that God manifests within you through His living Word. And that substance is the Word explained into your being. That substance becomes light inside of you. And as God develops the substance and unveils the substance within you, the light becomes brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And the Bible says that every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift, comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting shadow or variation. James chapter 1, verse 17. Aren't we blessed? Do you realize, brethren, that if the substance comes from God, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me? Amen? Do you realize that He says Christ? Why does He say Christ? Because that substance is of the Anointed One. Christ in the Hebrew is Messiah. It is the Messiah whose substance unveils that which God wants to bring in us. The Messiah. We do all things through the Messiah who strengthens us. Are you with me? The Messiah is a person. He's not merely talking about an anointing. There is no meaning to the anointing without the person. There is no meaning to the substance without the person. The substance brings the reality of the person. That's why Jesus Christ is the beloved of our heart. That's why ultimately your life and my life is going to be unveiled in a marriage covenant. And that marriage covenant is based on the reality of the beloved in a heart of flesh. And the two shall become one flesh, because it is of one substance. Are you with me? So revelation knowledge, understanding revelation knowledge as being of the substance of Jesus Christ, is extremely crucial to us. That substance is described by another Greek word that is described there as flesh. But although God is using different Greek words and Hebrew words, the essence is the meaning that he is communicating. So this heart of flesh is what you and I need. So take hold of your heart. Amen? Take hold of your heart. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20 to verse 23. My son, give attention to my words. Why? Because from my words come the substance of light. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So the creation of your heart is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. The creation of your heart is the heart of revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is the knowledge that knows God, the knowledge that loves God, the knowledge that belongs to God, the knowledge that proclaims God, the knowledge that takes delight in the fear of God, the knowledge that stands in who God is and in all that God is. Revelation knowledge has substance to it. And that substance, God has ordained that it will be entirely of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So listen very carefully, brethren, because revelation knowledge is so crucial to your life and my life. But it's very important that revelation knowledge is very precisely defined. It is not of our whims and fancies. That's why yesterday we talked about the seeing eye. Watch what your eye sees. And don't let your eye begin to see the wrong things. Don't let your eye focus on the wrong things. Because you can corrupt all this by fixing your eye on the wrong thing. Because substance comes out of hope. The moment you shift your hope from Jesus Christ to something else. And it can start by something like the ministry. And it sounds good. It is just that you have very subtly you see, there is no reality of you being a good man without your hope in Jesus Christ, because he is the blueprint of a good man. The substance of a good man is entirely of him. It is not in an idea that you have or I have. So, it is very easy, and we have done it in Christian history, to replace Jesus Christ with some form that ultimately becomes a religious manifestation. And you need to understand that a religious manifestation that takes the focus of Jesus Christ off Jesus Christ is not of God.
And you need to understand that your focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And revelation knowledge has the intent of bringing into you the fact that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And it will do that because the substance is of Him. So how do you check on whether you are having the right substance or you're developing in the wrong substance? Very simple. Who is Jesus to you? When you start doing things, for whom are you doing it? Who is the focus of your ministry? Right? Who is the focus of your life? Just how much of it is based on the fact that Jesus has saved you? How do you live? Do you live by just trying to practice a principle? It's very easy to replace Jesus Christ with a good sounding principle. And the Bible is full of principles. Hello. If you have Jesus as your focus, and if you open the principle in the name of Jesus, it's a totally different reality. But if you replace Jesus with the principle that seems to sound good, you have missed the whole boat. You are choosing to live under the law. Jesus manifests the fulfillment of the law. If you go back to practicing principles, you are going to be shut under the law. All you will discover is your righteousness and my righteousness and our righteousnesses. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 4, 64 verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. And you must understand this, that we are a people called to discover the fulfillment of the law, not to rediscover and reinvent the wheel. We are not called to reinvent the law under a new disguise. Success Christianity. This is what you need to do. 10 steps to do this and 15 steps to do that and 17 steps to do this. What is it saying? That the steps are a replacement for Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there are no principles. But you must know the difference between looking at a principle as a principle per se and defining a principle in the substance of Jesus Christ. In the substance of His fullness. Totally different realities. If the Church of Jesus Christ had understood that everything comes out of the fullness of Jesus Christ, we will be a totally different entity today. We will be doing things very differently. We will be thinking very differently. And the magnificence of Jesus Christ will be unveiled from each and every one of us. So the challenge facing us today is to be the church that unveils the fullness of Jesus Christ. To be the church that brings forth the magnificence of Jesus Christ. That's our task. The purpose of the ministry is to unfold something of Jesus Christ in practical terms. That's what the ministry is all about. At the heart of the ministry is the heart of Jesus, our Lord. It is the heart of His love. It is the heart of His faith. It is the heart of His anointing. It is the heart of His love. It is the heart of His purpose. Are you listening? And you must understand that. And your heart is designed to become of the substance of His fullness so that your heart will function exactly like His heart. That your heart will function in His name. And when your heart is of His substance, it will function in His name. Are you listening? And when your heart is of His substance, automatically the most natural thing, everything you do, will be of His name. Don't have to be a genius to try and figure how that is so. If your heart is entirely the work of God and that work is entirely of the substance of Christ Jesus, everything that comes out of you is going to be in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, it will be given to you. It will be done for you. Listening? And that's the challenge that you and I have in our lives, to unveil Jesus Christ, because He is the salvation of the human race. And so that substance is so important. Hello, it's not about prosperity, it's not about anything else. It is about the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and my heart. Unveil the Lord and every knee will bow before Him. But before every other knee bows before him, you and I must bow before him. If we don't bow before him, how can we expect the people of the world to bow before him? Are you with me? Do you realize that in all of the Gospels, do you realize that nobody could ignore Jesus Christ? Do you know that today the attempt is to ignore the church? Have you read all the reports of fallen priests and fallen pastors and doing this and doing that? What is the attempt? The attempt is to make the church a nonentity. It is to write off the church. But the church is the living body of Christ. Nobody is going to write it off. Are you with me? So you and I have a job. And our job is to become living members of the body of Christ. Our job is to unveil the fullness of Jesus Christ. Whether you are doing a small thing or a big thing makes no difference. It is all about what you are unveiling. And that unveiling must be of his fullness. So brethren, whatever your age may be, whatever your status in life may be, listen to this. As you learn how to receive and realize the fullness of Jesus Christ, as you learn how to give expression to him, you will discover a brand new life. Don't delay anymore. We have wasted enough time. Remember, the substance is of the work of God. God is not asking you to stand on your head. God is simply saying, receive my son. Receive him through my word. He will fulfill the law in your being. He will bring forth the prophets inside of you. He will fulfill it. Are you listening to the Lord your God? I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I will remove the heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36 verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Do you realize that God causes us to walk in his statutes through this substance that he defines in your heart? When the Holy Spirit causes you to walk, he's always manifesting the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ inside of you in order to cause you to walk. Are you listening, brethren? Therefore, we can all be what God wants us to be. Hello? Therefore, we can all be what God wants us to be. We just have to receive what Jesus paid the price for. I will repeat that. We just have to receive what Jesus paid the price for. John 1:16. Of his fullness we have all received. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. And do you clearly understand that nobody could observe the law? But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. I'm quoting from the New American Standard. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization is the process by which revelation knowledge is manifested into your being. It is a realization. That realization is an enlightenment. Something of the substance of Jesus Christ becomes light inside of you. And the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ that becomes light inside of you is of grace and truth. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. Are you listening, brethren? So focus on this realization. Don't shut yourself under the law. Don't invent the law in a new disguise. The law has been fulfilled. Jesus came, went through the cross, rose from the dead in order to fulfill the law and to fulfill the prophets. How did he fulfill the law and fulfill the prophets? By manifesting the blueprint that will unveil pure substance. Pure substance in conformance to the I am of God. That pure substance is manifested to you and me on a subordinate plane, on a dependent plane, on a derivative plane. You must understand all of those words. Subordinate means on a secondary plane. Derivative means that substance only lives by what God supplies. Dependent means that substance cannot manifest life in itself. Hello. That substance can only receive the life of God and live through the life that it receives. So in order for this substance that God is manifesting inside of you to achieve all of its purpose, you and I must bow before God. And you and I must learn how to bow before God willingly. Because everything is from Him. Hello. One day you and I will bow before God because we love to do so. Hello. One day you and I will bow before God because we love to do so. Like I said, worship is not a song and a dance. Worship is a lifestyle. It is an entire thinking process. It is an entire character. It is an entire nature. An entire character and nature that says God is absolutely supreme. That God is the be-all and end-all of life. And once you and I can recognize us, we have a new kind of intelligence, brethren. We have the intelligence that is entirely dependent on God. Boy, when that intelligence manifests, we will be something else. Hello? You listening? So revelation knowledge is an awesome adventure. But remember, that adventure only exists in the right substance. That adventure must open in the way, the truth, and the life. That adventure is awesome. That adventure will open you to the I Am of God, but it only exists in the name of Jesus Christ. It only exists in the merits of the Lamb. It only exists in the witness of the cross. So you and I are called to understand revelation knowledge. Right? Let's go back to understanding. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand. Amen? By faith we understand. So understanding is dependent on the right substance. Understanding is an evidence of that substance. So what is true understanding? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The second half of that verse. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Do you realize that knowledge of the Holy One is of the substance of His being? The substance of the Son of Man. Amen? Are you listening? So do you realize that understanding always comes with an intimacy with the Holy One? Because that understanding is of His substance. So if you are growing in the right way in God, there should be a growing intimacy inside of you. A growing aliveness to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are really receiving the Word of God, then you will be more and more alive to Jesus. There will be a greater and greater desire for Him. There will be a greater and greater desire. There will be a greater and greater focus on Him. There will be a greater and greater desire to see His fullness being revealed in you. All your prayer styles will start changing. You will start focusing on receiving Jesus. And when you start talking to other people, your focus will also be on Jesus. Because suddenly everything inside of you sees Jesus Christ. And all that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So understanding revelation knowledge is intimacy with the Holy One. Intimacy that knows Him. One day that intimacy will be consecrated in a marriage union. So the covenant with God at its highest level is a marriage covenant. The two shall become one flesh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Alright, let me just read that verse so that we end in the right tone. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 31 and verse 32. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Christ and his body. And the two shall become one flesh. The substance of Christ and the substance of the body of Christ will be one substance. That substance is of the bread of life. It is living bread. Listening, brethren? All right? Living bread. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that revelation knowledge is entirely built in the substance of the fullness of Christ Jesus. And that fullness of Christ Jesus is ours. It is our inheritance, it is our possession. For of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. How awesome is the mystery, Father. But we bless you and thank you that all of that mystery will be unveiled in our being as the substance of the Master is manifested into us. As we receive of the fullness of the Son of Man, we will unfold as sons unto you, Father, that the right substance will form inside of us, and you will raise us, O God, from glory to glory, to become, O God, sons of the living God. So as we stand before you this evening, Father, we are humbled by what the intents of your heart are, what you have put into the scripture, that we are to come to know you, Father, in the reality of all that you give us in Christ Jesus. And in the fullness of Christ Jesus, you unveil the I am of who you are and all that you are. And we realize, O God, that in this substance you are unveiling an entirely new creation. And this creation is by definition a creation that will know you and live entirely by you. This creation will know who you are. This creation will know all that you are. And this creation will manifest, O Lord, a life that will entirely express that reality. We stand before you awestricken, Lord. But we bless you and thank you that your purposes in each one of our lives is awesome. As we bow before you this evening, Father, we bless you and thank you for the intents and desires of your heart. We bless you that you save us by your name. You vindicate us by your power. We thank you that you have answered the cry of David, Father. And that answer is going to be manifested in each and every one of our lives. And we thank you for the immense patience, O God, with which your Holy Spirit brings this reality into our being. So we thank you for the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that you have given us in Christ Jesus. And we bless you, Father, that the intents of this whole plan came out of your heart. So we bless you for your heart. We bless you that the unveiling of your heart will be in our beings. And so we give you glory and honor, worship and praise, Father. And we truly look forward to that day when we will worship you because we love you entirely. That we will worship you because, O God, in our hearts you will be the one that we truly desire to glory. So, Father, we bless you and thank you for your creation. We bless you and thank you that revelation knowledge is entirely a creative process in the substance of the Master's fullness. We celebrate our creation in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We celebrate your glory. We celebrate the glory of your grace, Father. Unveiled in each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.